Yeah, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann Reports Wednesday. That's right, today is Wednesday, January 22nd, 2025. You might wonder why I just emphasized Wednesday. Just to do it. By the way, Steve Quayle will not be on tomorrow because of a schedule conflict. So lining up a few things. Hopefully we can get some interesting things for tomorrow, including perhaps Lara Logan, who's going to we got a couple of clips for you today with Lara Logan. She is really tearing things up in terms of investigations and exposure. Okay, now I'm telling you, there's a lot of things going on in the background, a lot of fighting in the background with between the deep state, members of the deep state, and of course the freedom fighting patriots. A lot of movement, good movement, positive movement on the J6 political hostages, and that's a good thing, but not without some issues. Julie Kelly, one of my favorite investigative, well, she's not a formal journalist, but she really has her finger on the pulse of a lot of things with respect to January 6th, with respect to both the hostages as well as the judges, the sentencing. I mean, if folks, and I know you know, the people in the chat, and by the way, thank you for joining us in the chat at Rumble. Just please do me a favor. Sign up for Rumble. It takes a second, and then click the follow button. It helps us reach more people through some sort of algorithm. I don't even know how it does it, but it does it. So you don't even have to go. Even if you listen as opposed to watch, we've got just a whole lot of listeners. So anyway, it does help us, even if you don't watch us, just by following us on Rumble. It does assist us. Before we get into the show, though, and there's so much, really, folks, I've got two pages of show notes and links. So if you want, again, if you want the show notes and links, go to HagmannPI.com. Make sure you bookmark that website and click on the applicable day's title, and it'll give you everything there. Before we get to the show, I want to show... Did I bring it? It's out of my reach. I brought it into the studio to show you specifically, but staywarmnow.com is where you need to go. There's this great little device that really heats up a room without sucking the energy out of your house and out of your pocket and money out of your pocket. And Americans are expected to spend more money on heating bills this season than they did for Christmas on holiday gifts. Home heating is expected to increase by 8.7% to an average of $941 this winter. Now, again, we're looking for some relief here. Well, I get that. But in the meantime, let's stay warm now.com. Okay? No, seriously, let's stay warm now. I use this secret weapon. I love how it makes my office, my home, my den, my wherever I might lay my head down to sleep. I love how it makes it toasty warm, and you can set it from, hey, you know what? Just give me a little warmth too. My hair is on fire. I'm joking, of course, but you get the idea. And it's a great little device that also includes overheat protection and adjustable heat levels from simple warmth to toasty comfort, making it perfect for, hey, me, my family, my dog loves it. Lady, the studio dog, not Maxwell, who made a cameo the other day, but Lady loves it. Now, do your wallet a favor. Grab one of these. Right now, up to 60% off. Right now. Only at staywarmnow.com. Plus, order today and you'll receive free expedited shipping, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. Hey, if you don't like it, it's not what you expected, you can return it. Not many people return those. I'm just saying. And there's a few other free bonuses that you'll get. Once again, that's staywarmnow.com. So with me to go over this plethora. Eric the Tech, is that a good word? Plethora. Eric Tech, you okay? Eric? Hello, Eric? He's not talking to me today. Eric and his family, Randy Taylor, Eric and his family stopped by today to visit, and we had words. No, you know what? We did not go to the studio. But no, I didn't say, I shouldn't say we had words. No, we had, so Eric Tech, what do you think, real quick, before we get to the really serious stuff, because there's a lot of serious stuff. So,
hope yes.
He did, man. Here's what he does. He comes, he'll come in, he'll slither in, you know, quietly, and then beat me in places where it doesn't show. I'm telling you, the guy. Anyway, no, he's him and his family. What a beautiful family he's got. My daughter, she's precious. The grandchildren are precious. And okay, I'll be quiet now. I'm just bragging because I can.
He has a beautiful family.
Doesn't he though?
Well, your daughter is a very beautiful woman.
She really is. She really is.
And good looking kids, man.
And the transitioning is going well. I'm kidding.
Right.
Yeah. So, Randy Taylor.
Congratulations.
Randy Taylor.
On deck.
On deck. Now, folks, again, clearing some business out of the way. You're going to have surgery next month, the beginning of the month. So, I'm going to treat you like a rented mule for the rest of this month because.
All right. That's good. It's fine with me, man. Keeps my mind off it.
Yeah. So, folks, Randy Taylor's going to have surgery. I think it's on the 3rd, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Some serious issues. And we have to keep him in our prayers. But he's going to pull through fine because, only the good die young, and he's not young. No. Notice how I paused there, right?
Yeah.
And also, he's a tough old bird, so there you go.
Things will be better when it's done.
Yeah, of course. All right. Now. I was going to say, where do you want to start? But I really think perhaps one of the most important things is Davos is going on right now, and it looks like Davos has been or is on the ropes. Your thoughts on that?
I would love to see him on the ropes. I'd like to see a nuclear bomb detonated, a tactical nuke detonated about 1,000 feet above Davos.
Well, now there are some good reporters there. So, you know, at least one, maybe two there. But
they'd get warned.
Okay. As long as we do that.
I'm so sick of these elite that think they're going to run the world and that they're going to tell us what to do, how to live, how to what to eat. No, I don't think so. I don't see it.
Well, the this one good thing that I noticed today, lab-grown meat backlash is building. More states are saying no to this Franken meat, whatever it is, Gates fake food crap.
Yeah, McDonald's told them no.
Yeah.
Yep.
I told them no.
Yep.
People in the chat told them no. I'm looking at the chat. I see, you guys are. So
I want to see them running for their lives, Doug.
I do as well, and I think we're on that path. And you know something, this would not have happened. And folks, I was thinking about this. Say, think how close we came, and although we won technically, well, practically by a landslide. What would today look like if cackling McKneepads Harris was in office, along with that freak?
I can't even fathom. I think we'd be on our way to Washington.
Oh, man. You know, you wouldn't have the J6 prisoner hostage release.
Nope.
You wouldn't have Gulf of America. And people laugh at that, saying, oh, that's just words. No, it's not. It's a land. It's a claim, really. You wouldn't have so many things that are taking place. So we dodged a bullet, but we worked to dodge that bullet. And thank God we did. Now, hey.
And when you rename it and reclaim it, you can start pulling the oil up again.
And that, very good, because there is a method. RT, I was reading some intellectual stuff, and there is that component to circumventing previous edicts by the last BS regime, where they say, okay, you cannot touch anything in the Gulf of Mexico, as an example. I'm dumbing this down tremendously. Well, it's not the Gulf of Mexico.
Where exactly is that?
It's gone. Poof. Magic.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
drill, baby, drill.
There you go. And again, for what it's worth, you know, people say, well, no, that's just, you know, that's kind of hyperbole. Not really. When you kind of get into the legalese of things,
we're going to do the same thing with those pardons.
Now, those pardons, yes. Okay, so look, just to show you, I'm not kidding around. I spent like all day. Well, with the exception of cooking for Eric the Tech, I spent all day putting together show notes. Before we get into that, I mean everything else. We mentioned the WEF at Davos. All right, the WEF has basically admitted defeat. This is cut 5. It's a minute 12, and listen to what this man says about Donald Trump. Going back to what I said earlier, think of cackling Kamala would have been in there, along with what's this, Tim Walz, you know, Mr. Fairy Fingers, right?
Fairy Fingers,
ridiculous. But here's cut 5, a minute 12. Here is the state of the onion of the World Health or World Economic Forum. Check this out.
Trump has done something no person in the world has ever done before. A dead man, a dead politician, has risen. Somebody who, four years ago at Davos, he's buried, a dead politically, known to me. He's now returned. This is the greatest comeback in political history of a politician. And then, therefore, he thinks he can do anything.
We need to also factor in not only who's won, which is Trump, but who's lost, which is to say us. And I guess I would throw into that the epitome of the us who is losing here is Europe. That the European Union and, by and large, its member states have misread the direction where events were going.
The causes that it is interested in, climate, human rights, some others, as well as the methods of diplomacy that it prefers, are simply being gradually kind of marginalized as something new, not necessarily something better, but something new moves into the center.
Good.
Like that? Poor babies.
I love it. Yep. I want them destroyed. I want it dismantled.
Yeah.
I want that organization needs to be recognized for what it is. Okay. And I don't care what anybody says. In my humble opinion, Klaus Schwab, okay, was trying to revive what Hitler was doing.
Okay? On a global, well, yes.
Yes, and trying to make it acceptable and cool. Okay.
And yet they blame us for that. Go ahead.
And his, when he talks about the fourth industrial age.
Right. Which is a fourth turning, which is a matter of fact in the history. You know, you have four turnings. And
but the third right, the fourth right, we walked right into it. The man is a Nazi. When you start deciding the fate of millions of people.
Right.
You're gone. You're done. As far as I'm concerned, they need to be outlawed. They need to be declared criminals. Their assets need to be seized. And this needs to be dismantled. And if anybody ever rears their ugly head up like this again, it needs to be taken off.
Amen. Amen. And I think...
under no circumstances should the World Economic Forum be allowed to exist.
Well, exist and have any impact on our policy or our... I agree with you on that. Yeah. Yeah.
It might as well be a bunch of Nazis sitting in you know, so, some shack somewhere.
That's right.
It's just, to me, it's no different. When you read Klaus Schwab, anything by Klaus Schwab, and you listen to anything that comes out of his mouth, it's so Hitler-esque. It's not funny. And I don't understand why. I mean, if they're barking at Elon Musk for saying, from the heart, which is what the man did, and trying to call it a Nazi salute. If they're that Nazi sensitive, why are these people even in existence? Answer me that. Riddle me that. I'm sorry. The World Economic Forum needs to be disbanded, dismantled, outlawed, and declared enemies of the state.
Or ignored by every politician, every lawmaker in this country.
You're going to have to criminalize them.
Well, and that's just it. When you take when you take the names of the 535 in our Congress, and you take some of the former cabinet members, and you overlay that with WEF membership, you can see that there's too much. Too much of the WEF insinuated into American politics.
Canadian politics, too.
Exactly.
Chrystia Freeland, she's on the board of the World Economic Forum.
Right.
And she's going to run for prime minister.
By the way, now, because you go back and forth between U.S. and Canada, and you've got some, you know what's going on up there. Is she running for some office up there?
Yeah, prime minister.
Oh, Prime Minister. Okay,
yeah, she jumped away from Trudeau. It's a dog and pony show. And she says, I'm not going to, we're not going to do the carbon tax. You know, we're not this taxation. No, we're not doing the tax anymore. She was the one driving the tax. She takes her instructions from the World Economic Forum.
No, I get that. So, I mean, everything that they do up there in Canada, whether it's, you know, Bastros, what I was trying to say was Castro's bastard son.
Yes. Well, you can call him Bastros. That's fine.
Bastros. That's I feel catchy. Like Steve Quayle now. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, the WEF appears to be suffering from President Trump. Get, you know, entering office. Now, I do have a warning about and to President Trump about the Stargate. Okay, folks, we're going to touch on that. I mentioned that last night. We talked a little bit about it last night, but I'm going to tell you right now, Stargate is not something I don't want to see President Trump pushing this at all. I think it's a big mistake. And, there are some dangers here. Joe Allen, we've got Noor bin Laden, of course. And you know, folks, when you talk about Noor bin Laden, the sister of Osama, I mean, you got to be. I mean, look, the sins of a brother cannot be bestowed upon siblings. I'm just telling you. So anyway, even if they're worse sins. All right, so. Okay, so the WEF, they look like they're hurting a little bit. Just a few things to get out of the way first. I saw this. President Trump was asked, Randy Taylor, why he removed John Bolton's security clearance. And I thought this was really good. And this is kind of like one of those pieces that are just, that don't really connect to anything necessarily within the show proper. But I think it's important to kind of, I think what this does, and the reason I put this here, is to really illustrate the difference between Donald Trump of 2017 and Donald Trump of 2025. I think it's totally two different people in terms of their attitudes, his attitude, and the people that are close to him and stuff. So this is cut six, and I just love the affirmative nature of President Trump on this one. So it's 53 seconds long, and he answers the question about Bolton's security clearance. Here it is.
But
why did you remove John Bolton's security clearance, sir?
Because I think that was enough time. It's when you take a job, you want to do a job. We're not going to have security on people for the rest of their lives. Why should we? I thought he was a very dumb person, but I used him well, because every time people saw me come into a meeting with John Bolton standing behind me, they thought that he'd attack them because he was a warmonger. He's the one that got us involved, along with Cheney and a couple of others, convinced Bush, which was a terrible decision, to blow up the Middle East. You know, we blew up the Middle East and we left. We got nothing out of it except a lot of death. We killed a lot of people, and John Bolton was, one of those guys, a stupid guy. But no, you can't have that for life. You shouldn't expect it for life.
And again, the reason I stuck that in there, Randy, was to show, I believe President Trump is coming out of the gate and he's loaded for bear. Okay. And he also recognizes, I believe, the fact that Bolton was really a key component, even after the fact, of PNAC, the war documents, essentially, changing the Middle East and such. And this guy's a piece of, dung. Okay.
He's had security clearance and access to people for way too long.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just time.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like a variable, a wild card, so you might as well clip it.
And you notice too, security clearance, and then President Trump went and referenced, I think, the security detail, almost conflating the two in that answer. But nonetheless, I think a lot of these people that had security clearances and a security detail are going to be thrown into the wind, and as they should be.
Good.
They
can answer to some folks.
Well,
you see them on the street, I mean, at least you get to talk to them.
Yes. And speaking of which, again, now the Canadian half of you, or the Careful. Third or whatever, I don't know. Okay. You should be very proud of Rebel News, because let's go back to the World Economic Forum. Let's go back to Davos. Did you see Ezra Levant, what he did with Larry Fink at BlackRock? Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Oh, folks in the chat, did you see that? I got to have like at least a yes or no from a few people. Come on. You can do it. I guess I'm about 10 seconds behind on chat. that because, Eric can bleep me when I lose my cool. Okay, so no. What's that, Doug? Okay, no. All right, cool. Let's go into this. So Rebel News is from Canada, right?
Uh-huh. Yes. Ezra Levant.
Ezra Levant. And for as much as I pick on Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Did you know Lee Greenwood actually had, before God Bless USA, God Bless Canada, or something similar to that, and sung about Canada. But anyway, you got to check this out. Ezra Levant in Davos and Larry Fink. These people are scared witless, man. I'm talking not Rebel News, but these little freakazoids that go to Davos and plan to drink the blood of children. That's right, I said it. They're scared. They're running scared. God bless Ezra Levant. You didn't see this either, RT, right?
Nope.
All right, folks, hang in there. This is kind of a long clip, but every bit is worth it. And enjoy this. Embrace this, because this is what's coming. This is what's here. You know, we grow a set. So does Canadians. We have a new date. So does Canada. I'm telling you, it's good stuff. This is Cut 12. Let's watch it together and enjoy this, shall we? This happened within the last, I think, 14 hours, 12 hours. Watch this. Cut 12.
Mr. Fink, are you going to follow Donald Trump's plan and get rid of DEI and ESG in your companies? BlackRock really is the opposite of Donald Trump in so many ways. You're authoritarian, you're anti-populist, you're top-down. Are you going to change it all in light of the U.S. presidency? How is Donald Trump... Have you talked to Donald Trump since he was elected? Is the World Economic Forum a counterpoint to Donald Trump? Why are you running away from simple questions? Just answer a question. Have you talked to President Trump yet? Why are your bodyguards pushing away journalists, Mr. Fink?
They're simple questions. Is it that hard to answer a question that you need bodyguards and to swerve through traffic? Is the next 4 years going to be bad for business with Donald Trump in charge? Is peace the last thing you want on this world?
Which makes more money for you, war in Ukraine or peace in Ukraine? Ezra Levant's my name, Mr. Fink.
Did you just take a photo of you?
Am I supposed to be scared? Is that a threat, Mr. Fink?
Are you used to bullying your way through life?
No.
Is that how you've lived your entire life without having... Look at this.
Don't push me, bro. When was the last time you answered a question that you didn't know was coming? Why are you so unaccountable? Isn't that what you love about the World Economic Forum? You control everything.
Why do you think you deserve so much power? Hey, Avi Yemini, should I be scared now?
Which of your former directors do you want to run Canada? Mark Carney or Chrystia Freeland?
Push me, bro.
There you go, RT.
What are you getting violent for, man? I could push just like you can, man. Look at these thugs. They fund wars around the world, and then you question them. They try not only to intimidate you, but physically assault you.
Yeah, look at that guy pushing
photos of journalists who ask you prickly questions.
Who's more powerful, you or President Trump? Why do you think you're so disliked around the world?
Why are so many U.S. states divesting from your ESG schemes? Why are you putting your ideology ahead of your investors with ESG, Mr. Fink? Isn't that being disloyal to shareholders, putting your ideology ahead of rate of return? Why do you think you're above accountability? Is it because you're rich?
I just feel like walking with him now because he's big, scary bodyguards. And I don't know, Ezra, I just want to make it clear I will not kill myself.
I have no suicidal thoughts either. Mr. Fink's taking pictures of me and Avi Yemini. I think that's meant to intimidate. It's a little weird, though. It feels a little thin-skinned. Do you think you're above questions? Like, why don't you even answer? Surely you have the answers. Why do you think BlackRock has become so hated, one of the world's most reviled brands? Do you take any responsibility for that? Who do you feel accountable to? It's obviously not shareholders. Do you have a God complex?
Was Biden the best thing for you? And did you fail by not being able to get another Democrat president?
Why don't you run for public office and test the support for your ideological ideas?
Ooh, that's a good one. Okay, well, you can cut it. It goes on. But you know what, Randy Taylor? Everyone like this, I believe, we need to treat exactly like that.
And the message is clear.
Yes.
Their security sucks.
And you know what? If Ezra Levant can get within 6 inches of that man, I'm just saying.
Their security sucks.
That's John Bolton kind of bringing it back to you. You know what? You're going to have to hire your own private security if you want security.
People like Bolton, yeah. People like Fauci, they're going to need private security.
Oh, and we got to talk about pardons too, because there are some little surprises in there that a lot of people aren't really, I don't think a lot of people know. We're kind of in uncharted waters with these. Mm-hmm. And some of the legal aspects are very interesting. And I'll throw this in there. We have in Pennsylvania. Now see, Randy Taylor, myself, Eric the Tech. Oh, I got, hang on 1 second. Somebody wants to say hello to you. Hang on. Okay, come up here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You don't have your toy. Come on. Come here. Come on. Come on. You don't have your toy with you. Come on. Come here. Over here. See, he won't do it now. But come here. Oh, come on. Come on.
And Maxwell.
Yeah, Maxwell is here. He wants a cameo. Come on. Come on. There you go.
There he is. There's a big handsome boy.
So, yeah, there you go, buddy.
There's a handsome boy.
Yeah. Here, you want to say anything? You want to say anything?
Come on, Maxwell. Say something.
You good boy? Are you a good boy? So, should I stop bringing you to the studio? Or do you like the studio? You see the camera? All right. Little family time, folks. I'm sorry.
He's a good puppy.
He really is. He's good. He gets me because we have uncertain doors in our home. We have the handles that go up and down. So he will jump up, grab the handle, and pull the door back, and then let himself into the room. The only thing I have to teach you to do is close the door, don't I? Yeah, yeah. I know. You're a good boy. Sorry about that, folks. We're just having a little alone time here. Okay.
Bow, chicka, bow, wow.
All right, bud. Go find a lady. Go find a lady. Go on. I know. So what was I saying before?
We're talking about BlackRock and how you get up close and personal with these people.
And really, I think, I think people have to take into account that the American people, especially the American people, and most of the people in the West, are sick and tired of BlackRock, of State Street Capital, of the other NGOs that own and everything, that run everything. BlackRock, big with respect to purchasing land in Maui, in North Carolina, elsewhere, Tennessee. Enough of this crap. We have to stop this, and we have to stop them from their ownership. So anyway, that was that. And if you look at Ezra Levant's Twitter feed, you'll see. He said, man, maybe I should have rethought that. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but maybe I should have rethought that given the fact that Thomas Matthew Crooks was in a BlackRock commercial prior to the assassination. But just saying. But we have to be fearless, I believe, from that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have
to
be fearless.
We can't be afraid of people like that.
No, we can't. Now, yesterday, kind of moving along, yesterday, 308 bad people, really bad people, were escorted out of the country. Compliments of Tom Homan. This is a 16-second clip. I've got two, I believe. This is cut eight. This is what we're seeing on the border right now. This is an immigration checkpoint on the I-8 toward Yuma, Arizona. To give you an example, a week ago today, man, it was unfettered access into the U.S. Let's take a look at where it is today. This is cut eight, 16 seconds long. Here it is. Don't be suspicious. Yeah, not my style of music, but you can see the checkpoint not allowing people into or checking every vehicle as they travel toward Yuma, Arizona. So it's different, isn't it?
I like it. Yep.
All right.
Lock it down.
No. But here's the other. Okay, so there's that. But then, Lara Logan was on with Steve Bannon today. And I like Lara. I think she is a great person. In fact, I'm going to ask her to come on. I know she's like crazy busy right now with a lot of things, but she said this: if you fix the economy and the border, but not the state, you still have a big problem. And this is something, Randy, I'd like you to talk in depth about, because think about this. You fix the obvious, but if you don't fix the rot within the state, those fixes are not going to be permanent. And this is kind of what she's saying. So here's cut one. It's under 2 minutes. So again, it's not that long, but very important. Here it is.
Yes. Fixing the border and fixing the economy is going to be massive. But the real mandate that is behind President Donald Trump today is for accountability. If you fix the economy and you fix the border, but you don't fix the deep state, you don't get judges actually enforcing the law, you don't get the Justice Department and the FBI to understand that their days of using the justice system as a weapon against American citizens is over. You don't get the media to understand that there are consequences for constantly year after year reporting stories that are not true. When you let John Brennan go on your air and say that President Trump is a spy for Russia and Vladimir Putin is his handler, you don't get to do that when you know it's not true and you perpetuate this lie over and over again and just get away with it. Accountability is those are the real wins behind President Trump. Look at RFK Jr. It's not just about because people want to eat organic. It's because they want the food industry held accountable for poisoning American citizens. They don't want chemtrails in the air. They don't want any of this stuff. And you know what they don't want? When the president pardons someone, they don't want a county judge or a district judge or a federal judge saying, no, I'm going to do whatever I want. And remember the last judge who did this, right? Remember when the Attorney General of the United States admitted that the Justice Department had illegally prosecuted General Michael Flynn. and they were dropping the case. And what did the judge do? He refused and refused and refused to let it go because he was hell-bent on a political persecution that had no places in law. Complete violation of the Constitution. The January 6th defendants have been denied their First, Fourth, Fifth, Sixth, and Eighth Amendment rights.
She's correct, and we have some examples of what she's talking about.
Absolutely.
So, and she's incredibly, she's got insights into things. Her, you know what her husband does, or her husband has was involved with the agency. I'll just leave it there. So he's got a lot of information and she knows a lot of things but she's sounding the alarm bell. So if we don't fix the rot, you can pardon people, but it's a one-off and things are not going to get fixed.
No, you have to follow through completely.
That's right.
They have to not just release the J6ers. We need to find out how and why those people got there in the first place and challenge the pardons, get Cheney in court. All of this, you have to pursue every angle of this or we're going to end up right back where we were.
That's precisely it.
You can write executive orders till your hands hurt. But if you don't get rid of the people that created the problems, those problems are just going to come around. You don't want them right now. I don't want them just buying time, marking time for 4 years. No.
Right. Right.
No. We've got to get this crap out and keep it out. It has no place in our society. None of this. None of this. There should be no BlackRock. No company should have been allowed to buy that much and own that much. I'm sorry.
We have antitrust laws too.
And I am a very much Mr. Capitalism. But there's a limit. There's a line there somewhere. And we need to find that line. I am not about share the wealth, nothing like that. I am not anti-capitalist in any way, shape, or form. But what's happening with capitalism getting too much is bringing corruption.
Man, beautifully said. Go on.
And at no point do you, as a businessman, have any say over my life.
I'm in agreement with you.
None. You put your pants on the same way I do in the morning. Except some of these faggoty ones that put their pants on backwards. But I'm said, whatever. All right. If you're a tranny, it's your business. But listen, just because you own billions of dollars of anything does not put you in charge of me, my future, my destiny. No. And we've got to stop these people that we know, like Bill Gates. I wouldn't let Bill Gates buy anything. Okay. If you just study the business person, Bill Gates, okay, he hates humans.
No, he basically said as much. Yes.
He wants a dollar from every human being out there. You know what I mean? Or dollars. He wants everybody to owe him money. Everybody. Did you ever in your computer, especially in the Windows environment, the EULA agreement, the end user license agreement. Did you ever read that thing that you agree to and you click and you say, yeah?
I've read a lot of things, RT, but I'd never read that. Because
it basically says no matter what, they still own the program.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, stop and think about that. Bill Gates is pig's work. Bill Gates has no business. As a guy that knows about computers, he has no business in the medical industry.
And since when did he become, top vaccinologist or whatever?
He's not licensed. He didn't go to school for it. I don't know who the hell the guy thinks he is. As far as I'm concerned, he's killed enough people. I don't understand why he's walking around and not in handcuffs. I don't understand why he thinks he can pick up the phone and call Donald Trump and say, hey, I want to come to Mar-a-Lago.
Okay, so that begs the question, though, RT.
I would have said, yeah, come on down to Mar-a-Lago, Bill. Your ass would have been handcuffed the second you walked through the gate.
But why did, and folks in the chat, too, I'm watching that. I mean, why would President Trump grant him an audience and not treat him like an enemy? Is it?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
I would give anything to have sat in on that conversation.
I would like to hear, like to know what was said.
It's little things like that that bother me.
Yes. Yes. Now, okay. So you're right. When we talk about things like the like BlackRock, like Bill Gates, like Fink and others, we've got to, I think, have a different approach today than we have in the past. One of the components,
let me just say this.
Go on.
Unless Bill Gates was given a message to take to Davos. There's that possibility. Because those guys at Davos are all scrambling. And I'm wondering, what message were they given? What this isn't just because Trump became president. Somebody said something to him.
Can Davos exist without the U.S. component? I'm asking.
I don't know. I just want it. I want it disbanded. Just like the World Economic Forum. I'm done with it.
Well,
it serves no to you and me, the people that pay the taxes and make the world go round.
Yeah.
It serves no purpose in our life. All it's done thus far is be detrimental to us. Why is it allowed to exist?
Okay. And we can say the same about the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations.
Yes, but they don't flaunt it like they do at Davos and World Economic Forum.
That's...
Trilateral Commission tries to stay out of sight. These guys are in our face flaunting it.
Yeah,
they're constantly sending out blurbs about, you need to kill your animals. They're using too much CO2. Yeah, we're talking about house pets.
Yes. Yes.
Things like that. Come and kill my house pet, you son of a bitch. Come on. I'll meet you at the door and kill you dead as if you were coming for one of my children.
Absolutely.
And I mean that.
And Maxwell's all upset now. Thanks very much. But yeah. All right.
People that say things like that do not need to be allowed to exist as an organization and as a political tool. That's like Islam.
Yes.
That's no different than Islam, if you ask me. Islam, everybody goes, oh, it's religious. Say religion to me one more time so I can smack you. Okay? It's a political system.
Yep.
Okay? Figure it out. It's a political system. Religion is one little bitty component of it that they use to hide behind as an excuse. It is a political system. And it shouldn't be allowed to exist in the United States. Shouldn't be allowed to exist in any Western country, for that matter. This is some crap scraped off a rock 700 years ago, and we're that damned anybody. Tell me one thing that Islam has brought to humanity that is good. One thing, anything. Cure for what? What? Oh, did you build what? And your missiles went, you went to the moon how many times? Shut up with Islam. Stick that Stone Age stuff up your ass. It's a political system.
Yes.
And these detrimental political systems and detrimental business systems, okay, that are destroying humanity. When you've got people talking about depopulating the earth, your ears should go right up and the red flags too. I mean, come on,
I agree.
Why do we allow them to exist? Please tell me why. They're in Davos. There's probably 2,000 people. There's 6 billion of us. Why are we allowing this shit to exist?
And look, there it is. We are allowing it.
When does it end? Where does it end?
And
wonder why I'm getting my leg cut off? Yeah. The Lord's work is not done.
There you go.
Tired of sitting around nursing a bad foot. That's why I'm having my foot cut off. That's why. So I can get up and get around. So I'll be back on my feet. So I can get back in shape. Because this fight ain't over.
And you have a bionic appendage there that's going to probably be...
That's going to feel good in somebody's ass.
I was going to say, it probably will fit nicely.
tell Taylor to pull his leg out, please. I'm just.
But you're right. I mean,
we've got to do something while we have the right people in power. Too. This is when we need to do things. We need to get things done. We need to speak up. We need to let them know in Washington that we do not approve of Davos. We need to let them know that we do not approve of the World Economic Forum. And Canadians, okay, quit saying how great Harper was. Stephen Harper was a turd. Okay? Stephen Harper loved the World Economic Forum. He thinks it's a great thing. Yeah. So before you glorify Stephen Harper...
Now, why did you pick Harper? I just have to...
He was the former prime minister.
But, I mean...
People always say he's better than Justin. He's better financially. He's better at financial decisions because his whole background was financial.
Okay,
but all right. My point is, you need to look at your politicians. And everybody thinks, oh, the last guy politician we had was Stephen Harper. Now, Stephen Harper was a loser. Okay?
He loved
the World Economic Forum. Anyone that would think that Klaus Schwab is a good man does not need to be in power. And you guys pay attention to this Pierre Poilievre guy, okay? Make sure he's clear of this World Economic Forum. It's not just saying
what are your feelings on him? I mean, he's supposed
right
to be...
Right now, he's better than... the rest of the garbage out there. That Max guy, I like that one guy, Max Bernier. The problem with Max Bernier is he can't seem to accumulate, you know, 5 voters. That's the problem I have with him.
Why not?
I really don't. He can't get anybody behind him. That's all. His message is good. I think he would be a great prime minister. However, you have to be able to go out there, talk to people, draw them in. You have to be able to get them to like you more than the next guy. And that's where he has a problem. We need somebody. Canada needs a Trump. They'd say it.
Well,
I know our Canadian friends that are listening are okay with that. And that's cool. That's why... When they talk about making Canada the 51st state, it's a lot of people would be cool with that. Of course I'm cool with it. I'm an American. My wife is Canadian, and she's cool with it. She thinks it'd be the greatest thing because first thing she said was, I don't have to go to Buffalo to go shopping. Okay, anything to wars were fought for less.
That's very true.
Buffalo has a good mall.
Galleria Mall.
She loves it when we come down to Erie and go down and see Doug and hang out. And the girls love to shop in Erie. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
You guys got it's like shopping center land there.
There's about a mile of stores.
It is. It's the retail mile.
Well, I was going to say, you know, this is reflective of a larger problem here in the U.S. where we have gone from a manufacturing base to a retail and a service base. It's unsustainable. So we have to, and this is what President Trump is doing, I believe, and has done in the last 48 hours, which is absolutely mind-blowing, the changes he's made in the last 24 hours.
Well, he's going to step away from the grain, too, and that's going to help. The jobs that are created by grain don't last very long.
And he has already axed a lot of the axed a lot of the
I get it. That was good, Doug. I like that.
Yeah.
Just ax him. Nobody axed you.
Well, okay, you know what? Because of the segue here. again, this is one of those dangling participles of show notes, but because of the segue, you got to see this. Philadelphia. Did you see this? Philadelphia mayor. Let me make sure. Let me see where this is on the show notes. I think I might have put it way down there because
another mayor in America making an ass out of himself.
Herself,
but she's not gonna, she's probably wanted to, let me guess, she's not gonna cooperate with ICE or let anybody be arrested or
no. This is even better than that. Tech, this is cut 15. It's 9 seconds in length, and folks in the chat, you got to pay attention to this in the chat. Okay, if you did you see this, I gotta ask you. Okay, so Sherelle Parker is the Philadelphia mayor. Okay, and she's talking about the Eagles team. Okay, we're slipping into this. This really is an outlier in the show notes, but I had to throw it in there because this is what DEI, in a sense, I know that she was supposedly elected, but seriously. I mean, we have a serious problem in this country when you have a major metropolitan city being run by somebody like this, Eric the Tech. Can you believe this? This is cut 15, 9 seconds long. You got to soak this in. You just got to. I ax you to soak this in.
Forget it.
Here it is, cut 15, 9 seconds. Watch this.
Let me hear you all say E-L-G-F-E-S, Eagles! Let's go, birds!
Say what?
What?
See, she was trying to spell Eagles.
Well, that was a pretty piss-poor attempt to spell it.
But
it's probably on a building within eyesight.
I mean, look.
We're there, baby. That's terrible, too. If I was the Eagles, I would be pissed off about that. They had a good football team. I watched them last Sunday. Played very well. They pay their quarterback $51 million a year. Got a five-year contract.
Okay, that whole thing makes me want to puke. Okay, there's no one is, I mean, to me, look, if
your son was making that, you would be okay with it.
Not you know what, in a sense, not really. I'd be okay with the money, but the fact that you've got really solid workers, they do a job, they don't play a flipping game making obscene amounts of money.
You're not going to change that. It's sports. All I'm saying is that puts him at the top of the pile. The guy is a very good quarterback.
Yeah, whatever.
And if I was a quarterback and somebody came to me and said, hey, I want to pay you $51 million, what am I going to say? No, I think that's just absolutely too much money. Put it into the city of Philadelphia so they can at least spell our name right on the buildings.
But see, this goes back to what we were talking about before. It's the rot at the root. Okay, this should have never happened. Again, you know, there's this moral issue that's in play here. I believe that
entertainment will always pay well, though. That's just the way it is. I do agree. And I thought about it a lot when I was younger, how a scientist, you know, only makes $100,000 a year, but an entertainer makes, you know, millions of dollars a year. That's just what we've done. You know, that's what society is. It's systemically done this. This is boom, 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 boom.
And I'm not happy about it, but okay. All right.
But anyway, on a positive note, they do have a good football team.
I wouldn't know. I have not watched football in 22 years, I think, just because I don't have time for that.
I've always liked football. Don't watch it in the house, but my daughter showed an interest in football lately, so I've...
Well, that's good. It's a family activity, then.
It's fun.
You can, yeah. All right. Well,
we can't afford to go to a game, but...
Yeah. The last time I took my son, Joe... It cost me a whole ton of money. I mean, it was crazy. And I certainly didn't enjoy it. I took it because he liked it. And anyway, okay, so we left off with Laura Logan and talking about exactly this, fixing, you know, you could fix the economy, you could fix the border, but if you don't address the deep state rot, you're not going to get anywhere. Now, this is building, folks. This show is building toward an epicenter of really what this is all about and where we're headed. This is part two of that same interview. This is important because she goes into Biden leaving the keys behind to the terrorists. This goes back to Afghanistan. So, again, folks, take a look at where we are today on the 22nd of January of 2025 compared to where we were a year ago or even a week ago. But watch this. This is 2 minutes long. And listen to what Laura Logan talks about with respect to what Biden and what Sullivan, what all of these morons have done to our nation and our national security. This is extremely critical. And again, this is leading up to something that to me is extremely important, and that's going to expose everything that is wrong with this nation, and it's satanic in nature. It really is. This is cut to fire when ready.
What about Afghanistan, where you've created a terrorist state? You have now taken what was a terrorist group that was constantly on the back foot. You've given them their own state. There are tens of thousands of terrorists right now being trained in Afghanistan. They have rebuilt their financial networks. They've rebuilt their logistics chains. And guess what? We heard nothing from the intelligence community about the fact that the Biden administration left behind the biometric capability, the keys to the biometric database. They left that in the hands of the terrorists in Afghanistan. And that has allowed a terrorist regime to go into that database and alter the biometrics of trained known terrorists. Right. And not only that, the State Department, they committed a massive intelligence failure because they left behind equipment that is used to verify another state's passport. So now these terrorists not only change their identities, but they have official passports to travel all over the world in. And many of them have infiltrated Europe. They've infiltrated the United States. I mean, look at the reports of all the Chinese and others who've been making incursions onto American bases. For goodness sake, we are in the midst of a national security crisis on about 50 different fronts. And what do you hear from the intelligence community that Mark Warner is so worried about breaking up? You hear absolutely nothing. In fact, what you do hear about is you hear that there are people within the CIA who are refusing to go along with plans to use their relationship with terrorists like the Taliban and the Haqqani network to create chaos and carry out attacks inside the United States and blame it on ISIS. That's actually the kind of information that's coming out, because there are still somehow a few good people left in there. The other thing that I would say just to close this is that Michael Flynn told me years ago, the National Security Council has been completely infiltrated. Okay, it is way too big. What happens when you expand? You know, look at the DIA. How many tens of thousands of employees does it have now? The CIA. As soon as you go big, your security standards go down, and your the ability to infiltrate goes.
Okay. Yep. She said a lot in there. One of the big things is we know that equipment was left in Afghanistan, but they left the keys to access the biometric data, essentially here in the U.S., at the highest levels of our government. And this was done intentionally, I believe. If you folks, the links will be at HagmanPI.com in the, under the show notes. But when you look at this, and I would urge you to watch the entire interview with Laura. And again, I've got a call out to her. I was just looking to see if there was any, to see if she'll come on and talk with us, RT. But, she was on with Steve. I don't know whether you caught that, probably 7-8 months ago. Anyway, on this platform. But the bottom line with this is, what the State Department did under Biden, and if you go back under Clinton, Obama, Clinton, and I'm looking here at my notes, you can see where this was planned. Okay, you talk about the Arab Spring all the time. Not all the time, but quite frequently. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of thing that the Arab Spring led up to. Go on. You
know, there's also something else going on. It'll probably come out and make national headlines. A former CBSA officer, which is a custom and immigrations.
In Canada, right?
Canada, yeah.
Right.
Former CBSA officer has came out and has exposed the fact that he was, sorry, I'm not going to say he, she, or what. Anyway, this person was asked by their bosses. They had been collecting passports. And what happens is people come into the country using legitimate passports.
Okay? There you go.
Legitimate passports. However, they get busted by sharp officers. Okay? Passports are seized. Anytime in the Western world when a passport is seized, okay, and I think it's part of the Geneva Convention, but anytime there's a passport seized, it is to be immediately returned to the country of origin.
That is correct.
That is a fact. Yep. Canada wasn't doing it.
What were they doing with them then?
Keeping them. Asked a CBSA officer to burn them. CBSA officer says, no, I'm not being involved in this.
How much are you selling for?
Anyway, that's what they wanted done. I guess they ended up burning them. But anyway, there's going to be a big hoopla about this. It's already out on social media. It's a video about an hour long. And Doug, I'll send it to you. It's interesting that the subject of the biometrics has come up in Afghanistan. You know, we don't know who's sold what to who all around the world. We really don't. Our Central Intelligence Agency is no longer trustworthy.
None of the intelligence agencies are.
The DIA, CIA, I don't trust the NSA. The whole thing needs to be cleaned up. And they've got to get started on that today. That has to happen now.
And you know,
we don't have time. We've got to get on it.
And folks, and especially in the chat, because you put this in the chat yesterday, folks, I'm going to toss it to Pam Bondi briefly. There are a couple of people that said something about Pam Bondi, and we're going to be looking into her a little bit closer in the manner in which you posted, or with respect to the information you posted. We're going to be looking at that a little bit closer. But Pam Bondi is a cog in the Zabara, obviously would be DOJ, head of DOJ, but the fact is there is some overlap with the IC and the DOJ nationally, but I digress. But okay, so we have that. But what really bothers me here is when you listen to Laura and you start really getting into what happened in Afghanistan, it's worse than you can even imagine. And RT, you're absolutely correct with respect to what's going on here. Okay. Now, folks, before we get to really the second hour, and I mean this, we're going to put the pedal to the metal on this. I do want to draw your attention to boostwithdoug.com, boostwithdoug.com. You know, there was a study done last year that showed that half of all adults in the U.S. have high blood pressure. About one in four have had their blood pressure, only one in four have their blood pressure under control. Millions of people like you and I are at risk for heart disease and stroke. I'm telling you, it ain't good. And it might seem like an uphill battle sometimes, but taking control of your heart health, it doesn't have to be that complicated. It ain't rocket science. Which is why I started using that new awesome product you see on your screen to help manage my blood pressure, manage my cholesterol, and manage my weight. It's a triple action formula packed with clinically proven all natural ingredients like white mulberry leaf and cinnamon bark powder. I mean, stuff you can't just go out in your backyard and get. Well, maybe you can, but I don't think you'd want to. But it's all in this one powerful formulation designed to support balanced blood sugar levels and healthy weight. Now, it did help my blood sugar levels. I'm telling you, it did. So do your body a favor. Grab it today while it's up to 40% off during the holiday special extended only at boostwithdoug.com. That's boostwithdoug.com plus order today. And your delivery will be rushed to you at no additional cost. Once again, that's boostwithdoug.com. And I want to thank them for sponsoring the program. Randy Taylor, Randy_USA on X, and RT at Hagman PI. Should you want to send them a note, say, hey, and wish him well for his upcoming surgery, which is about 12 days away. So roughly 13 days away, something like that. Okay. Now we're one more kind of outlier again. Tim Burchett, I don't know whether you saw this. This made my day. Jim Acosta and Representative Tim Burchett, this is 17 seconds long, but worth every second of it. This is where you folks in the chat, this is where you watching this show, this is where you listening and viewing alternative media. This is because, I believe, because of you folks. This is cut 10 in the show notes, 17 seconds. This is Representative Burchett versus Jim Acosta. Listen to this and enjoy. And again, compare this to, oh, I don't know, 10 years ago, 10 weeks ago. But listen to this, the disdain for the mainstream media. Here it is.
Is covered on CNN. What you're saying, this is not Fox, Congressman. You can't just spin a tail and pull the wool over people's eyes.
Yeah.
This is CNN. This is the news. We are asking you to come on and tell the truth.
And that's why more people are watching the Cartoon Network SpongeBob reruns right now, Jim.
Enough said there. You can't, I mean, how great is that, right? Again, kind of an outlier in today's show notes, but important nonetheless, I think. You can't, Randy Taylor, you cannot hate these people enough.
No.
I say that. I mean it. But
no, they've wrecked this country.
Exactly. All right. Getting into really some of the very, very critical things that we need to really have our eyes on. I find it in the same vein of that Acosta Burchett exchange. We haven't heard from John Brennan in a while. Randy Taylor's favorite person on the planet is John Brennan. You know, the guy who voted for Gus Hall back in 1980, the guy who converted to Islam when he was over in Saudi Arabia. You know that guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Obama's national security advisor.
Yeah. John Brennan and Ted Lieu are my two favorite people in this world.
Absolutely. And John Brennan has a lot of baggage with respect to the companies he owned. that were involved in certain weird things, especially around that attack in Benghazi, and oh, that video and the passport office break-in with Lieutenant Quarles Harris. If any of this is, folks, any of this ringing a bell? They got baggage.
Yep.
But poor Johnny. Poor Johnny. He's upset. Oh, he is so upset that the 51 spies who lied had their security clearances revoked. He's upset. You want to know how upset he is? Well, you can just listen to a minute. This is cut 11. And just be prepared. Have a hanky or a Kleenex. I guess that would be the more appropriate. Have a Kleenex with you. Listen to this and enjoy. Here it is.
Yeah, he said in 2018 that he was going to take my security clearance. My security clearances were never taken at that time. And the only reason why I still had a security clearance, as I have for the past number of years since I left government service, was for the benefit of the government, so that if the CIA or another government agency wanted to call me in to discuss a classified matter, they could do that. And so it was really for the government's benefit. It was facilitate those classified discussions with myself, as well as with former directors, as well as other former members of the intelligence community that had those clearances. So again, yesterday's EO is a bizarre, among many of the bizarre executive orders that he had signed out. And as you point out, he misrepresented the facts in that executive order, because it said that we had suggested that the Hunter Biden laptop story was Russian disinformation. No, we said it was for the hallmarks of Russian information operations, including the dumping of accurate information, which is what we said in that letter. So again, this was just, you know, his effort to try to get back at those individuals who have criticized him openly and publicly in the past.
Now, how can he say that, Randy Taylor, with a straight face?
I don't know, but he just did. I know what his letter said, and I don't care how he's trying to spin it. He lied. Yeah. He lied.
They all lied. Okay. Yeah. Now, folks, follow us on this, because this is going to start to really make sense now that we got the outliers out of the way. All right, so you got Brennan and 51 others losing their security clearances. Clapper, we went over this yesterday, okay? But it has ramifications far beyond anything that we kind of saw yesterday. I mean, we saw it, but we really didn't see into it yesterday. All right, now... So let me just make sure I'm on the right track here. Okay, so you have all of a sudden President Trump saying, gone, clearance is gone. So they're basically unemployable. And their usefulness is gone. Their ability to damage us is gone. Okay, hold that thought. On the way out, you had Biden. And I'm sorry to bring him up again. I know it causes PTSD or BTSD, Biden. But here's the thing. Biden pardoned quite a few people. And I have to say this. In Wisconsin Christian News, I was right on the flipping money, man. I wrote that on January 4th and the January 5th that was just published. And I said, Fauci, the J6 committee, and General Milley were going to get pardons. And doggone it, I hit 3 for 3. Now, okay. There are two issues here with respect to Biden pardons. Big ones. Randy Taylor, I'm telling you, this is extremely important. We'll play this in order. Cut 3 and then cut 4. Or I'm sorry, let's do it backwards. Eric the Tech, I know that you hate it when I do that. Let's go to cut 4 and then cut 3, because we're going to ease into something that you're going to see that I don't think, maybe I didn't see it, but you're going to see it now. cut for Speaker Mike Johnson announced that Congress is going to investigate Joe Biden's pardons of his family members. Why is this important? Is it because of his family members capitalizing off of influence? Yes, but there's something even more. This will lead to identifying the very people inside our government that are recipients or that are violators of our Constitution. You got to think deeper. This is probably one of the most brilliant things I've seen in a long time. How Congress is, and I do hope Congress, in fact, will follow through on this. And then others within the executive branch, including the Department of Justice, under the executive branch, under President Trump as a chief magistrate, will go after. And the exposure is going to just knock your socks off. So cut four first, Mike Johnson, and check this out.
Mr. Speaker, to potentially have any type of congressional action on the pardons that President Biden issued over the last couple of days?
It was shocking. I mean, it was shocking what President Biden did on the way out. Pardoning his family for more than a decade of whatever activity, any nonviolent offenses. It was breathtaking to us. I don't think that's anything like that's ever been anticipated. And by the way, go look at the tape, 4 years ago when it was just implied that President Trump might do something similar. They were apoplectic. Joe Biden himself, Adam Schiff, Chuck Schumer, roll the tape. They all said that would be crazy and unconscionable, and now they're cheering it along. To us, it is disgusting. To us, it probably proves the point, the suspicion that, they call it the Biden crime family. If they weren't the crime family, why do they need pardons, right? Look, there's a lot of attention that's going to be paid to this, and I think that is appropriate, and we will be looking at it as well. So,
I do hope that's the case. RT, do you think that's going to happen? Don't know.
I don't know. Now's the time to do it. We have the Republican Congress. We'll just have to see.
Okay.
Remember, when we started out with Trump last time,
yes. Okay,
he had control of the House.
The first 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, think about it. So if he don't, hopefully he's learned his lesson. I just hope he's learned his lesson. And then he's ready to play hardball because last time he let it get away from him.
But, so when I heard that, I thought, okay, I get it. They're going to go after the Biden crime family. But this extends far beyond that. This, obviously, folks, you know this in the chat. You know this listening and viewing this. You've got China, you've got Ukraine, you've got Romania, you've got Russia as well, padding the pockets of the Biden crime family and the influence peddling, right, by the Bidens. But they didn't act alone. And I think this is what's being conveyed here, because you notice you mentioned Schiff. As the example of, hey, I wouldn't accept a pardon or it's not going to happen. But he threw in Schiff and some others. And I think this is going to be a wider investigation with a special counsel. This is what I get. This is what's being telegraphed to me. Now, in addition to that, remember Laura Logan talked about the systemic rot. We can fix the economy, we can fix the border, but not if we don't fix the state. The rotten estate, then it's all for naught. Okay, now think about this. We have a problem that we talked about yesterday, you and I, with respect to the J6 political hostages. What did we see? We saw a reluctance of the system to release the hostages. Why? Well, because of systemic rot, but where? It's in the judiciary. A lot of it's in the judiciary. Okay, so President Trump said a few things today, including there was a reference about cleaning up the judiciary. There's a reference about cleaning up different things under the Department of Justice, which I don't have in the show notes. I just happened to see it.
I mean, I just wonder, can he go in and just start blowing judges out and replacing them?
they'd have to be impeached.
Yeah.
But I think the push will be there. And I'll tell you why. This next clip. To me, I think that there's been some communication between President Trump 2.0 and Congress. This is cut three. This is John Solomon and Amanda Head with Barry Loudermilk. And this, pay attention to the wording on this with Loudermilk. And then think in your mind, folks, okay, think, where is this headed? Is it just limited to J6ers, or is it a bigger issue with respect to the judiciary, which also involves the FBI, domestic intelligence agencies? Well, go ahead and play cut three.
Well, you don't forgive somebody of something unless they have potentially done something. I mean, to me, this is basically, if not an actual admission, it's truly the perception of admitting that there was wrongdoing done. And so I think this is a huge step. For the investigation is, I think it's proof that there is there. And I think we've uncovered plenty of it. And there's a lot more to go.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I mean, you don't pardon people if they haven't done anything wrong. And you also don't pardon people if people aren't finding out what it was they did. But because of you, the American people are learning. Does it feel like a badge of honor that Joe Biden had to do these pardons because of everything you've uncovered thus far and presumably will uncover in the future?
No, I think that's clear. I don't think you would have had any pardons if we hadn't done the work that we have done and just kept digging until we got to the truth. And in fact, we've had a lot of obstacles we've had to overcome. And I named our group the Black Sheep Squadron from the old Marine Corps unit of, the ne'er-do-wells, the troublemakers from the Marine Corps became one of the most effective fighter units. And so because of some of the obstacles that we faced, I just named us the Black Sheep Squadron. And if you think about the name of our Committee of House Administration Oversight Subcommittee, that spells chaos. And so we became the chaos group of the 118th Congress.
Good point with chaos, but I think that chaos is going to extend into current and former lawmakers. Okay, and I say this because January 6th, the actions of, again, follow me, maybe I'm just kind of not right in the head, but when I hear this, I'm thinking, wait a second, and Randy Taylor, tell me if I'm off on this. But I think the investigation into the Biden pardons is going to go far beyond the Biden crime family. I think it's going to involve Nancy Pelosi. I think it's going to involve some other people on the periphery of, or in the center of January 6th and on the periphery of other issues. Any thoughts on the scope of the pardons, the Biden pardons,
I understand what you're saying and what we're talking about. They can't take the fifth and all that. The point is somebody has to take the initiative to drag them into somewhere where they're questioned.
Agreed.
That right there has to be the first thing. Second, just because they can't take the fifth and all doesn't mean they're going to tell the truth.
That's a sad commentary.
That's the sad part. And that's what we've been dealing. Look at the corruption, the systemic corruption we've been dealing with for decades. Just look at it. And man, we've got so much stuff to clean up. It's a monumental task at this point. You're talking about reinventing the wheel.
Well,
and that's just, Trump's the guy to do it.
I just
realistically, I don't know that 4 years is going to do it.
For all he's done in the last really 48 hours, 4 years, he could possibly do a lot, but then lawsuits are flying now anyway. Yeah. But think about this. And again, I'm not trying to connect dots where they don't necessarily exist, but a couple of things. The interesting timing of new allegations against Pete Hegseth. Again, this relates to the Bidens, but new allegations, right?
Yep.
Hold that thought. Now it's come out where McConnell, Collins and Murkowski, obviously, the three numbnuts of the Senate, are going to vote against Pete Hegseth. Now their role is advise and consent. It's not, it should never be yes or no. Okay, it's advise and consent, and hey, President Trump deserves a cabinet that he selects, period, end of story. But
yeah.
Vance is going to have to issue the tie-breaking vote, which will obviously work out well.
But Mitch McConnell shouldn't even be in. He shouldn't even be in there anymore. Yeah,
Glitch McConnell.
He's done. We think Biden's bad. Look at this guy. This guy just freezes up on camera. Total la-la land. He has no... We've got to get term limits in place. This crap's got to stop. That's what makes our country a joke. And that's part of that corruption you're talking about, is these people that get in there, the Lindsey Grahams and the Mitch McConnells, that just get in there and they fester. I say fester because that's what a wound does.
Yep, it does.
They are an infection. They are what's wrong with our country.
Okay.
In the legislative branch.
Okay. Now, again, try to follow my line of thinking. Sometimes I feel like Steve Quayle with respect to, going back and forth. Again, not disparaging Steve. It's just the way he thinks. But sometimes I'm looking at different things. I'm looking at my notes here. And let's see. Biometric data. Okay, yeah, we went through that. Did you know this? And this kind of folds into what we're talking about. Did you know that since 2017, the judiciary, the Department of Justice in New York, in the state of New York, released 42 cop killers? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
New York State, since 2017, released 42 cop killers at the judiciary level.
Wow.
At the prosecutorial level.
For what reason? What was the most common reason?
That I don't have, but the fact, when you get to double digits in cop killers being released, oh man, there's something wrong. Throw in Soros DAs, not a problem. I mean, not surprising, I should say. That's part of it, but again, the judicial rot that we're seeing here. Okay, so you've got Loudermilk saying, look, we're going to be looking into the Biden pardons. You got Mike Johnson saying that they're going to investigate the Biden crime family pardons. But both suggesting it's not going to stop there. Then you've got the judicial rot that Laura Logan referenced, the rot at the state level, meaning state and nation state. Okay, now, one thing that really has become a part of the U.S., and again, I hope people follow, I hope you can follow this. Video 7, Cut 7, Stephen Sund, the chief of the Capitol Police on January 6th. Ask yourself why the J6 committee never requested that I came into testify publicly. Think about that. I am the chief of the Capitol Police. This stuff has been out there, but now it's coming out even more front and center. Okay, again, I'm going to try to wrap this in hopefully wrap everything up to so it's understandable. Where I think this is all going, this is cut seven, Stephen Sund, in a very important admission in a very important video. Here it is.
The restrictions I had as the chief, and ask yourself why the January 6th committee never requested that I come and publicly testify. Think about that. I'm the chief of the Capitol Police. To have me come down and publicly testify before the January 6th committee, because I think they were concerned. It would begin to show what went on the 6th, what on the days leading up to the 6th, and what was the involvement of political leadership and their appointees.
Wow.
All right. Short clip, but pretty accurate. So Randy Taylor, I'm just going to say a couple of sentences here, and then you take this. You've got the World Economic Forum meeting in Davos that is under the microscope and admitting, hey, you know what? With Donald Trump in, we're kind of losing things. You've got rebel news out there. I mean, they've always had balls, but this time they're going after Fink like BlackRock like never before. Then you've got Laura Logan talking about the deep state rot and the fact the Biden regime, along with the co-conspirators, what they did in Afghanistan and really what they've done throughout the Middle East. And then domestically, you've got the January 6th. That whole narrative, which is now crumbling, and the people involved really on both sides receiving pardons, one preemptively and one after the fact. The preemptive pardons, of course, for the J6 committee and witnesses. And after the fact, the people suffer from J6. Now you've got people coming out and saying, hey, there's something wrong here. And I think we are building to a crescendo, perhaps earlier than suspected, of a disclosure, an exposure, and a demand for justice. What do you think, sir? You're not happy?
I'm not seeing what you're saying.
Okay. I probably didn't explain it well. What I'm seeing is...
Well, January 6th, you're saying nobody's doing anything about January 6th. Donald Trump is.
No one's doing anything. No one has done anything about the J6 Unselect Committee.
But now they can't. They've been issued pardons.
Oh, but the pardons... the pardons... allow
and only if somebody initiates something and if they tell the truth.
But you have, for example, Cassidy Hutchison, the woman who said she heard that President Trump attempted to, you know, redirect the beast from the Capitol to go to the Capitol on January 6th. Right. She's exposed. You have Nancy Pelosi, who was not granted a pardon. Why is that? Why is that? I think that was a mistake on Biden's part that does expose Biden and the co-conspirators.
I don't know. You know, Pelosi, I think that there's been no love lost between Pelosi and Biden ever since Harris was thrown in the mix there without a primary.
Correct.
So I don't see anything there. I think that Biden probably looked at Pelosi like he looked at Jack Smith and said, hey.
Who hasn't gotten a pardon either?
They failed me. They screwed me.
Right.
Let them stand, you know.
So you're making my point in a sense, because when you have an emotional, visceral reaction to a slight, like you stab me in the back, and you start thinking when you start thinking improperly, you're going to make mistakes, and you're going to realize that Nancy Pelosi, she's fair game. Jack Smith is fair game. All of these people are fair game.
Yeah, the ones that didn't get pardons, yeah.
Right. So, okay, all you need, and you've been in this position as an investigator, I've been in this position, all you need is the right pressure, on the right person or series of people.
If anybody's going to do anything about it.
That's correct.
Key. That's the key. Otherwise, okay. Otherwise it's a moot point.
Okay. Now
it's an undiscovered victory. You know what I mean? It's
exactly. Yeah,
that's been the problem we've had over the years. So we've had these Republicans talk. They talk till they give me a headache about what they're going to do.
I you know, 100% agree with you on that.
Yeah, you know, if they're going to do something about it, cool. I hope.
Okay.
You know, I'm all for it.
And I kind of suspected that would be the case. Now, consider the reaction of people. And again, maybe I'm giving people too much credit. I don't know. Let's go to real quick here. Video 9. This is cut 9. Where do we stand on day 3 with the J6ers? People are friggin' pissed off. Now, the DC Gulag, I believe, I was trying to find out before airtime if everyone was released as they should have been. I do know that there are a couple in there from supposedly other charges, but what's going on with, and this all connects together because what's going on with the J6ers as political prisoners, you are seeing the rot within the system. And you are now able to, and I'll show you this in a second, you're able to identify who's behind that rot. But this is cut 9. Here it is.
Where do we stand on, the morning of guest day 3, now since President Trump so heroically moved on Monday afternoon, ma'am?
So it appears that they are still releasing people from the D.C. Gulag. As I explained yesterday, the D.C. Gulag is sort of the holding pen for defendants who are going to trial in Washington, awaiting sentencing, arraignment, some on pretrial detention. So it's really a mix of defendants there versus the ones who are released at federal prisons across the country who've already been convicted and were serving out their sentences. But my sources are telling me, Steve, that the judges in Washington are responsible for slow walking the release of the defendants in the D.C. courthouse. And I will tell you why. This is the life's work of these judges for the past 4 years. They not only take this professionally seriously, but personally. These are judges who have expressed open contempt for Donald Trump in their courtrooms, in their court filings. They consider January 6th an act of domestic terrorism, and they gleefully helped the government secure this 100% conviction rate before jury trials in Washington. Imagine your life's work for 4 years unraveling before your very eyes at the hand of the man who you despise. So they are holding on to this as long as possible. I'm collecting a list of names of those judges. But I know that at least one, Royce Lamberth, one of our favorites, the Reagan appointee, he apparently slow walked the release of a woman named Rachel Powell, who was serving out a 57-month federal prison sentence for obstruction of an official proceeding, which, as you know, was overturned by the Supreme Court. She was transferred to Washington on January 4th, to face resentencing after her obstruction conviction was dropped. January 6th, of course, the weather shut down. Royce Lamberth delayed her sentencing until last week. And then after news of the pardons, never called her in. She's been sitting in the gulag for weeks now. She's a 40-some-odd-year-old woman who has children and grandchildren. So he was slow-walking her release yesterday because, of course, he probably was going to try to sentence her to another 57 months. At any rate, those are the sort of individuals who were in the gulag, and these are the same judges who've thrown the book at these defendants, now doing whatever they can to delay their freedom until the very last minute.
Look, the J6...
Listen.
Obviously, President Trump is very dear to his heart. It's also central to our mission.
Oh, I guess, okay, my apologies. I guess we had that cut off. The remaining part of that interview, he said, let's name names. Now, folks, we don't have to do this. But
you're talking about judges? We should
name them. Yes, the judges.
Name them.
Well, okay.
We need to get it out there. You know what? I just hate to see one of them judges get run over or something. You know how shit happens. Maybe that's what the Lord wants. I don't know.
Lightning. There you go.
Make it good, Lord. Something.
Okay.
You know what? This define the president.
But do you see what? Okay, here's what I think is happening. I think that there is
This is desperation.
But it's a surge now. People are starting to say, wait a second. By the way, you've got a J6 prisoner saying, I've got videotape. Whatever you call it, video. And wait until you see. And he's laying it out right now on social media.
They may have destroyed evidence, but that doesn't mean the evidence is gone. They destroyed the evidence that was in their hands.
Correct. And here's
But once again, they've been pardoned. So what are you going to do to them? You're going to tell the truth?
Okay.
Then hopefully when they're having lunch at Burger King, they're running into somebody from J6.
But, they're in, and maybe I didn't hit that part as hard as I need to. When you talk about pardoning the J6 committee and witnesses and such and police, there are other ways to go after those people that you've got lawyers on the Trump right now in the orbit of Trump looking at going after these people. And then you have people like Julie Kelly, one of many, having an audience with Bannon, extremely huge, naming names. And now all of a sudden, what I see taking place is this gutsy move. Hey, you know, you look at the D.C. gulag. You had a lot of people out there saying, let my people go. And they stood out there in freezing temperature saying, release these people. You had people from Congress. You had the U.S. Marshals go in there. And I guess what I'm saying is now you're identifying, we collectively, Julie Kelly individually is identifying some of these people. If you want to put page one up there, Julie Kelly's X account, she goes through this. She goes through the names, Royce Lamberth, Beryl Howell, these judges who, like she said, made it their life's work to go after President Trump. This is not going after the J6ers. This is going after a movement. And I believe these people who are involved in this are going to be exposed and dealt with. Now, am I cautiously, am I optimistic, overly optimistic? Perhaps.
I may be. Exposed is one thing, dealt with is another.
Both. Because when you expose what the J6ers were put through, given water with raw chicken, imagine tossing a raw chicken in a bucket of water and here, drink this. Yeah, having no coat, windows open, laying on concrete, thrown in solitary. The way they treated these people is beyond anything.
Well, with any luck, they'll sue the crap out of the government. But the people that need to be punished, we've got to get around those pardons. That's the end of that story. That is what has to happen.
And that, okay, I think when you have legal minds looking at the pardons and saying, hey, wait a second, preemptive pardons? What are the charges? No charges? Well, what are you pardoning these people for? Anything related to this? Let's check the Constitution. Let's check the law. What does the law say?
That's what it's going to take.
That's right. But I think that they're, look, I'm not going to attribute any kind of 5D, 4D, 3D chess crap. Okay, but what I'm saying is I think there are people working behind the scenes to identify the wrongdoers, the people not going after the people personally, but the movement. And I think now the tide has changed. It's just my view.
Well, I hope so. I really do.
All right.
I just don't get too excited about this crap.
Oh, I you know, look.
Too many years of watching Washington move at a snail's pace and rot in place. I just don't. You know what I mean? Even some of the rhinos that, you know, now appear to be on Trump's side, where really 6 months ago they probably weren't. I don't trust anybody to do anything.
But we, as a people, yes, can demand this.
And if they're not going to do anything about it, then I say we, the people, take care of it. That's where I'm at.
Okay. But and I'm fine with that. And you know what? I think the majority of Americans are fine with that, too. And I think that's the difference between 2017 and 2025. That's what I'm. Look, I'm excited about that. Am I excited about, you know, what DC is going to do? No. But I'm excited about the fact that these people are finally. Hey, look, there's Beryl Howell, that hag, that bitch.
I'm for dragging him out of the restaurant, kicking the shit out of him. I have no good feelings for these people. They've done is absolutely. It's irreversible. I am disgusted by what I'm saying.
I think we all are, and I think we've had it up to here with this crap. And I think now,
The best thing they could do is move on these people legally.
And
because if they don't, these people are going to answer to we the people.
And I'll tell you what, I've been there personally, and I watched a judge put someone in prison saying, best place for you right now, because that man right there,
he's going to kill you. Yep.
Telling you.
Yeah, it's time to get back to old justice. We need to do it. We are too. We've allowed this crap to be the norm. And that
exactly.
We can't do that anymore. We cannot accept it.
And whatever momentum was created since the 5th of since Election Day, okay, to the present, man, we've got to capitalize on this. And just like we saw at the DC Gulag, the people out there saying, get these people the freak out of this prison right now. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, the way they were treated is, you know what? Somebody sent to jail, sent to prison, whatever. They lose their freedom. But you don't do what has been done to these people.
No.
And I'm not saying just because they're characters. You don't do that to anybody. Okay? It's just the way it is. And it hurts us more. Because we know they're being punished for being patriotic.
And this will not stand.
Allowed to stand, no. And the people that did that, every last guard needs to be prosecuted.
And, you know, I posted something on X. I've interviewed Attica's guards. I've interviewed the other place in New York City. I've interviewed... inmates, and I'm going to tell you what, the guards should be behind friggin' bars, not the inmates in many cases.
Yeah.
All right. Now, before we run out of time, there is something really effed up about what's going on in Los Angeles. This is Cut 13. It's a short clip. Massive new fires erupt. Well, a fire. It's called, I'm not sure of the name, I'm sorry. It erupts near L.A., near the Los Angeles County community of Castaic. It's already grown to over 1,000 acres. What the hell is going on in L.A.?
It's arson is what's going on in L.A.
There you go. And who's doing it? Who's behind it? And why?
I say foreign nationals.
100%.
From what I've seen.
And working on behalf of who? Themselves? Just to cause chaos?
No, they're working for other states.
I'm going to tell you something. You watch L.A. and what happens, and you're also going to, in my view, you're going to see something happen in Florida. I don't know what, but something. But check Cut 13 out real quick here before we run out of time.
Hughes Road. Three of these helicopters flew out of Whiteman Airport in Pacoima along with News Chopper 4. I'm hearing on the scanner they called for two additional tankers. I'm going to zoom back wide and show you what we are seeing out the helicopter window. This is massive, and this is growing before our eyes. This is not like that small brush fire that we covered yesterday or the one before that. This is something to be concerned about.
I'm going to tell you, it's more than something to be concerned about. People better start paying attention.
Intentional arson.
Yeah.
Intentional arson. I'm not talking about some kid has a campfire and something goes wrong. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that came in, they're arsonists, that's what they do, they've been paid by somebody. That should carry a life sentence or a death sentence.
And doesn't this go back to BlackRock?
Yes, because look at what it does. That's the total upheaval of people's lives.
That's 100%.
People dying.
Yep.
I saw, and it always kills me, the animals. The horses.
Oh, yes.
You know, it makes me sick.
Yeah.
That they have to cut their horses loose and pray for the best. And yep. Those horses are never seen again. And what a horrible thing for a horse to die in a man-made fire.
Yeah.
Bad enough. And humans dying. But a big, beautiful, and all the animals, you know what I mean? It's the dogs, the cats, the family pets. You know what? They get pushed back on the casualty list. Nobody talks about them.
Now, what has this done? What has the fires? What have they done to expose Newsom and that lesbianic mayor of L.A. and the lesbianic fire chief and the lesbianic assistant fire chief?
And what are the people going to do about it?
Well, again, you throw enough gas on the fire, no pun intended, people, you already see Hollywood starting to really get pissed off. Big deal, right?
But some of these people that are doing these things to the populations, I hope they meet violent ends. I really do. I pray God strikes them down. And when I say strikes them down, you know what? They may use a human being to strike them down. I don't care. Okay,
it's good.
People that hurt people need to be trimmed from the herd.
Yep, and it's going to happen.
And if the courts don't take care of it, then let it happen on the street. Maybe, am I wrong for saying that? Maybe I am. But I'm sorry, that's how I feel.
But see, this to me, you add Maui to this or this to Maui, you add the Helene, you add all of these up together, and people are starting to wake up and saying, man, there is something really wrong. And in one of the clips we didn't play, there was a talk about chemtrails or geoengineering. Look, people are starting to wake up and saying, what the hell? And I believe in this case, perhaps only in this case, President Trump is the catalyst for exposing this and prosecuting this.
Yeah. It has to stop.
It does.
And the other great film that I saw tonight was that one with, they were trying to talk to the people from BlackRock and the security was awful. Just an observation.
Gee whiz. Yeah. You know, wouldn't it be a shame if something happened to that story?
Think about all the deaths that these people are responsible for. Deaths in our lands, deaths in foreign lands, you know, the wars. I have no mercy for them. None.
No. And I should add, in closing, good news is President Trump has ordered that all federal DEI employees be placed on leave no later than today at 5 p.m. Eastern time. Bye-bye. Remember that that idiot. Turn the page.
1 minute.
Out.
Did you see that Billy Graham Jr. came out and said how wrong that Bull Dyke Chaplin was?
Oh yeah, man. I cut that from the show notes because, man, seriously,
I know I still want to know who set that up and whoever it is that they were fired.
But that shows their desperation, in my view.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you can't tell me there's not like a bullpen of
Trump destroyed her, though. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But she was on The View, no.